Okay, let's picture something for a second. You're living your life online and off. You've probably got defenses for your physical world. You know, locks on the doors, maybe an alarm system.
Sure, the basics.
But what about your digital world? Every time you click, scroll, sign up, or share, you're moving through a space that, well, it needs just as much tactical awareness.
Absolutely. There are unseen risks, potential vulnerabilities kind of lurking everywhere.
And it's really time we started treating our digital presence like a perimeter we actively defend.
That's the critical perspective the sources here consistently emphasize. It's shifting from thinking about digital life purely as, say, convenience.
Right.
To recognizing it's a landscape that's constantly being scanned and exploited by those looking for weaknesses.
Exactly. And that's really the mission for this deep dive, isn't it? Based on the stack of sources you've sent over.
Yeah.
We've got input from real tactical expertise, notably from Mickey Mido, a U.S. Air Force Security Forces veteran, host of the Red Dot Mindset podcast.
A great perspective.
And insights from trusted heavyweights like CISA, NIST, the FTC, the NCA, and, well, others too, tech experts, publications like Forbes and Thiel.
And what's powerful about this stack, I think, is how it combines that strategic, preparedness-focused mindset with really practical, vetted advice from authoritative organizations. It's not just theory, it's actionable stuff.
Absolutely. And our goal is to synthesize all of these diverse perspectives, the solid data, into the core elements of a comprehensive, authoritative, and genuinely actionable guide.
Like a playbook.
Exactly. Something aimed at, well, pretty much anyone navigating the internet. Designed to empower you with concrete strategies for digital safety, adopting that tactical, decisive approach.
Think of it as building a personal digital defense plan, step by step, drawing on the best practices outlined in these sources.
Precisely. So as we dive into this stack, the core question guiding us is, how can we distill these sources to equip you with the strategies you need to secure your digital identity, just like securing a physical space? Let's start with a fundamental question this stack tackles. Why is your digital footprint a tactical vulnerability in the first place?
Right. So your digital footprint is, put simply, the trail of data you leave behind as you interact online.
Every click, every site visit.
Exactly. Every website visit, email sent, photo shared, account created, it all contributes to this virtual profile of who you are. And the sources like GCS and the Red Dot Mindset perspective frame this not just as data, but as a potential access point.
And unfortunately, it's a highly attractive target for malicious actors. I mean, one of the biggest risks highlighted across the sources is identity theft.
Huge.
Criminals can piece together information from your footprint to open accounts in your name, use your credit cards, or even steal money directly.
And the financial consequences are just staggering. The FTC reported consumers lost over $5.8 billion to fraud in 2021.
Wow.
Which was a massive 70% increase from the year before. And the impact isn't just financial, right? It's the immense time and stress involved in recovering your identity.
Oh, yeah. Nightmare.
Potential damage to your credit, even legal issues down the line.
And beyond direct theft, the sheer amount of data in your footprint is valuable for, let's say, less obvious reasons, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's collected, analyzed, traded, often without you really knowing or giving explicit consent.
And this data can be used for targeted manipulation, annoying solicitations, or perhaps most dangerously, it becomes fodder for social engineering.
Explain that a bit more.
That's where criminals use information about you, stuff they glean from your footprint to build trust, or craft really convincing lies.
They trick you.
To trick you into revealing even more sensitive details or taking harmful actions. They know your interests, maybe where you bank, who your friends are.
Making the scam seem much more plausible.
Exactly. And it's worth noting, as highlighted by sources like CSBP, that the demographic target is broadening. It's not just older folks anymore.
Right.
We see people under 60 increasingly targeted, particularly through online shopping and investment scams, including crypto fraud.
Why them specifically?
Well, it seems linked to their higher engagement with mobile digital finance platforms. The threat landscape is evolving, and honestly, everyone is potentially in the crosshairs.
That shift makes awareness absolutely non-negotiable then.
Totally.
It's not about trying to scare people, but about recognizing the reality of the digital space we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Framing awareness of these vulnerabilities as the critical first step, that awareness is armor concept from the Red Dot perspective, that empowers you to start building those defenses.
Like doing reconnaissance before you build a perimeter wall.
Right.
You need to understand what you're defending against and where your potential weak points are.
Right. So once we understand why our digital footprint is vulnerable, the next logical step, as these sources lay out, is applying that tactical mindset to build foundational defenses.
The non-negotiables.
Exactly. These are the non-negotiables for securing your digital perimeter. And the first line of defense, fortifying your access points, strong passwords, and multi-factor authentication, or MFA.
Okay, passwords. They're the basic locks on your digital doors. And alarmingly, weak passwords are still a major vulnerability.
I believe it.
We saw mentions in the sources, like Teal, about Fortune 500 employees using passwords that could be cracked in, like, seconds. That's just leaving the door wide open.
So what makes a strong password in this context? It's not just about throwing in a symbol, is it?
Well, complexity helps, but sources like NIST and others are really emphasizing length is increasingly important.
Longer is better.
Longer is definitely better. Think long, unique, complex, mixing different character types, cases, numbers, symbols.
Mm.
But the crucial tactical rule here, emphasized by Red Dot, among others, is avoiding anything obvious.
Like your pet's name or password 123.
Exactly. Your name, birth date, common words, anything easily guessable.
But who can remember dozens of unique, super long, complex passwords?
Nobody. And that's why the sources universally recommend password managers. Think of these as your secure, encrypted vault for all your digital keys.
They create them and store them.
Right. They generate strong passwords for you and fill them in automatically. It adds a huge layer of convenience and security. And this isn't just fringe advice. Reputable sources like CISA and NCA implicitly recommend them through their general guidance.
Okay, so strong, unique, long passwords managed by a tool. But even a fortress-like password isn't enough on its own, right?
Not anymore. This is where multi-factor authentication, sometimes called 2FA, becomes basically mandatory.
Why mandatory?
Because MFA requires a second step beyond just knowing your password. It verifies you are who you say you are by asking for something you have, like your phone for a code, or maybe a physical security key.
Or something you are.
Or something you are, like a fingerprint or a face scan. The power here is that even if your password is somehow compromised, maybe in a data breach.
Which happens all the time.
Which happens all the time. The attacker is stopped cold without that second factor. They can't get in.
So the message is, enable MFA everywhere you possibly can.
Absolutely. The sources are unequivocal. Enable MFA on every account that offers it, especially the critical ones like banking, email, social media, every single one.
And are all MFA methods created equal? Like, is a text message code as good as using an app?
That's a great point. Some methods are more secure. Authenticator apps like Google Authenticator or Authy are generally preferred over SMS text messages.
Why is that?
Texts can potentially be intercepted through things like SIM swapping scams. It's harder, but possible. Authenticator apps generate the codes directly on your device.
Okay.
Physical security keys are even more secure, but they're less commonly supported by websites and services. But apps are a really solid choice for most people.
And it's something you need to check periodically.
Yeah. Regularly reviewing and updating these MFA settings is also a recommended practice. Make sure your recovery methods are up to date, for instance.
Okay. So those are fundamental building blocks securing the actual access points. Now let's look at securing the environments where you conduct your digital operations, your devices, your network.
Right. Your devices, your laptop, smartphone, tablet, they're your gear in this digital space. Keeping them ready and protected is like ensuring your equipment is always operational, you know?
Maintaining your tools.
Exactly. A key part of this is regular software updates. Updates for your operating system, your web browser, all your applications. They aren't just about getting new features.
Security fixes.
Critically important security fixes. They patch vulnerabilities that attackers are constantly trying to find and exploit. Enabling automatic updates is honestly the simplest way to maintain this readiness. Just turn them on.
Makes sense. And what about active defenses on the device itself?
Right. Just like having perimeter defense, you need active defense on your gear. That's where reputable antivirus and anti-malware software comes in.
Still necessary. Even on, say, Macs or phones.
Yes. Install it on all your devices. Yeah. Yes, your smartphone too. Keep it updated. Run regular scans. It's your proactive system for detecting and neutralizing threats like malware, ransomware, spyware, all that nasty stuff.
And there are trusted names out there.
Yeah, the sources list several like Bitdefender, Norton, McAfee, Kaspersky, others. Just pick a reputable one and keep it running.
Okay, devices secured. Moving outwards now to your network perimeter, your Wi-Fi connection. Public Wi-Fi gets a bad rap in the sources.
Deservedly so. It's repeatedly flagged as inherently insecure. The strong advice is just avoid accessing sensitive personal or financial information while connected to public networks. Period.
What are the alternatives if you're out and about?
Your mobile data connection is generally much more secure than public Wi-Fi. Or, if you absolutely must use public Wi-Fi, or even just for added privacy at home, consider using a VPN, a virtual private network.
We'll come back to VPNs. But what about home Wi-Fi? That's secure, right? It's mine.
Not automatically. Sources like the FTC and CSBP detail essential steps to lock it down. First, you need to encrypt your network using strong standards like WPA3 or at least WPA2 personal.
Check the router settings for that.
Exactly. And crucially, change the default administrator login and password on your router itself. Don't leave it as admin and password.
Oh yeah, classic mistake.
And give your network a unique name, an SSID that doesn't identify you personally, like Smith Family Wi-Fi.
Good tip. Anything else on the router?
Yep. Keep its firmware updated, just like your computer software. Turn off features you don't actually use, like remote management or WPS, which can sometimes be a security weak point.
WPS is that push-button connection thing?
Right. Convenient, but potentially less secure.
Yeah.
Also, set up a separate guest network if your router supports it. That keeps visitors' devices off your main network.
Smart.
And remember to always log out of the router's administration panel after making changes and make sure its built-in firewall is turned on.
Okay, that's a good checklist for home Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Now, back to VPNs. You mentioned them for public Wi-Fi. Why are they important?
Using a VPN is crucial when you're on public networks, or really any network you don't fully trust, because it encrypts your internet connection.
So it scrambles the data.
Exactly. It creates a secure tunnel. This hides your IP address and makes your online activity much more difficult for anyone snooping on the network to trace. It adds a significant layer of privacy and security.
How do you choose a good one?
The sources advise choosing a VPN provider with a strong, verified, no logging policy. That means they don't keep records of your online activity. Ideally, look for one that's been audited independently to confirm that claim.
Got it. So secure devices, secure network connection, that covers the operational space.
Those steps cover securing the devices and networks that form your operational space online.
Now let's talk about arguably the most critical component of digital defense, something highlighted across, well, pretty much all the sources. Situational awareness.
Mm-hmm. Human error.
The red dot mindset emphasizes that the vast majority of successful cyber attacks start not with some super complex technical wizardry, but with human error. Your vigilance is absolutely key.
This brings us straight to recognizing and avoiding common threats, particularly phishing and various scams. You just have to be highly suspicious of unexpected emails, texts, or phone calls.
The urgency traps.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially those that demand urgent action, ask for personal information out of the blue, or seem way too good to be true. If it feels off, it probably is.
So what's the basic rule here?
The core principle is verify, don't trust. Never ever click on links or open attachments in suspicious messages. Instead, navigate directly to the official website by typing the address yourself, or use a known legitimate phone number to contact the organization they claim to be from.
Don't use the contact info in the suspicious message.
Definitely not.
Well,
and a simple but really effective tactic mentioned is just hovering your mouse cursor over a link before clicking. Look at the actual destination URL that pops up. Does it look right? Are there misspellings or weird characters?
Good check.
Phishing emails and websites are often designed to look incredibly legitimate, mimicking well-known companies or services perfectly. And vishing, which is phishing over the phone or urgent texts, often rely on creating that emotional pressure to make you act without thinking.
So staying informed about the latest scam tactics is part of it.
Absolutely. It's part of maintaining that crucial awareness. Check resources like the FTC or CISA. They often have alerts about current scams.
And beyond direct phishing, there's this broader idea of social engineering, right?
Yeah, which is basically manipulation. Attackers use psychological triggers, maybe building rapport, creating urgency, appealing to authority to get you to reveal information or take actions you otherwise wouldn't.
So how do you defend against that?
Exercise extreme caution when sharing personal information, especially with strangers or over the phone. Always try to verify the identity and legitimacy of anyone asking for sensitive details. Maintain a healthy skepticism, particularly with urgent requests that pressure you to bypass normal security procedures. Trust your gut.
Okay, be vigilant, verify. What about reducing the amount of information available about you in the first place? Managing that footprint.
That's huge. Trimming the fat, as you call it earlier. The less data that's readily available about you online, the less material attackers have to work with for targeting you or conducting social engineering.
So where do you start with that?
Start by auditing your own online presence. Just search for yourself online. See what information pops up publicly. You might be surprised. Setting up simple alerts, like Google Alerts for your name, can help you monitor for new mentions, too.
And then actively limit what you share going forward.
Definitely. This is where privacy settings on social media and other platforms become your best friend. Really lock those down. Limit who can see your posts. Be very careful about sharing personal information, things like your full birth date, your exact address, phone number. Even seemingly innocent details about vacation plans are gold mines for criminals.
What about those fun quizzes? What Disney character are you?
Be wary. Those seemingly innocuous quizzes or surveys often ask for personal history details. Your first pet's name, your mother's maiden name, things commonly used as security questions elsewhere. Assume anything you put online could potentially become public or be compromised somehow, so share minimally.
That's a good mindset. What about old stuff?
A critical action highlighted in the sources is deleting old or inactive online accounts. Think about shopping sites you used once years ago, old social media profiles you abandoned.
Forgotten vulnerabilities.
Exactly. These dormant accounts can be caught up in data breaches, exposing your old information, passwords you might have reused. Just get rid of them. Also, consider going back through old social media posts or photos. Purge anything that contains sensitive details or could potentially be misused maybe for creating convincing deepfake scams down the line.
Wow, deepfakes too. Okay. What else in terms of managing interactions?
Be selective about online connections. Don't just accept friend requests from people you don't know on social media. Avoid interacting with suspicious or unknown accounts.
Common sense, but easy to forget.
And when making online purchases or transactions, only provide the absolute necessary information. Don't fill out optional fields with extra personal details if you don't have to.
App permissions come up a lot, too.
Yes. Pay close attention to app permissions. So many apps request far more access to your data, your location, contacts, microphone, than they actually need to function. Be stingy with permissions. Revoke them if the app still works without them. And be cautious when downloading third-party software. Stick to official app stores or vendor websites.
What about cookies? Everyone asks about cookies.
Cookie management is part of this digital hygiene, too. Regularly clear your browser's cookies. And try to reject unnecessary tracking cookies when websites prompt you.
Why are they a problem?
The cookies collect data about your browsing habits and personal info, which is often compiled, aggregated, and sold by data brokers to advertisers or, well, potentially others.
Data brokers. Can you do anything about them having your info?
You can try. Leveraging privacy regulations like GDPR in Europe or CCPA in California gives you some power. You can request that these companies' names like Axiom, Experian come up. Delete the personal information they hold on you. There are even services like DeleteMe or Incogni that exist specifically to help automate this process, though they usually cost money.
That's a lot to manage, but it feels like taking back some control.
It is. That's a comprehensive set of tactics for maintaining situational awareness and actively reducing your attack surface.
Okay, let's move to slightly more advanced layers of digital protection. Things beyond the everyday basics.
Right. Securing your actual data through encryption is a key advanced tactic. You can use encryption tools for specific sensitive files or when sending confidential communications, like emails.
Like encrypting a whole hard drive.
Exactly. Consider implementing full disk encryption on your devices, especially laptops and smartphones. Most modern operating systems offer this built in. It means if the physical device is lost or stolen, the data on it is basically unreadable without the password or key.
But you need to protect that password or key carefully.
Extremely carefully. If you're using encryption or password managers, be mindful about where you store the master passwords, recovery keys, or encrypted backups. They need to be in a secure, preferably offline location, or a highly trusted encrypted service. Think carefully about using cloud storage for sensitive encrypted backups. Ensure the provider uses strong encryption methods and you understand their security policies.
Got it. What about monitoring for problems?
Another advanced layer is proactive monitoring and response. Regularly checking your credit reports, you can get free ones annually, and your online financial accounts for any unusual activity is vital for early detection of identity theft.
Are those identity monitoring services worth it?
They can be helpful. Services specifically designed for identity monitoring, like LifeLock or IdentityForce, can provide alerts if your personal information appears in places it shouldn't, like on the dark web or new account applications. They add another layer of vigilance.
And what about freezing your credit? I hear that mention.
That's one of the most powerful protective steps, actually, recommended by sources like Red Dot and implicitly by the FTC. Freezing your credit with the major credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, makes it significantly harder for someone to open new credit accounts in your name. It effectively locks down that major avenue of identity theft. It's usually free, and you can temporarily unfreeze it if you need to apply for credit yourself.
That sounds like a really strong move.
It is. Finally, on the advanced side, consider the security posture of the service providers you rely on day to day.
Like my bank or internet provider.
Exactly. As threats become more sophisticated, trusting companies that invest in strong security measures themselves is increasingly important. Look into their security practices if you can.
And government resources.
Yes. CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, is repeatedly highlighted as a trusted government resource. They offer free cybersecurity services and tools, even for individuals and small businesses. Exploring their website, CISA.gov, and resources is a really good step for ongoing education and access to trusted tools and alerts.
Okay, so those layers build a much more robust digital defense overall.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us, I think, to the final point this step really emphasizes. Cultivating the Red Dot mindset for digital safety, making this preparedness a habit, not just a one-off checklist.
Exactly. Staying safe online isn't a one-time fix. It's definitely an ongoing process. Security awareness training and continuous education are arguably the most crucial elements.
Because the threats change.
Constantly.
Yeah.
The threat landscape evolves rapidly, so staying current on new scams, new vulnerabilities, new techniques provides the necessary knowledge to adapt your defenses.
So how do you stay current?
Proactively seek out reputable cybersecurity resources. Follow experts online, people like Brian Krebs, maybe. Read blogs from trusted organizations like the NCA or EFF. Watch webinars. Take online courses if you're inclined. Just make staying informed a regular practice.
Like reading the news, but for cyber threats.
Kind of, yeah. And a specific note from the FTC for parents. If you have children under 13, be aware of the COPATHA rule, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. It gives parents control over the personal information websites and online services can collect from their kids. Worth looking into if you have young children online.
Good reminder. So it really comes back to being proactive.
Absolutely. That's the core takeaway from this stack, embodying the Red Dot mindset. Proactive defense. Don't wait until something bad happens. Take action now.
Like doing that audit we talked about.
Exactly. Audit your accounts. Update those passwords and turn on MFA everywhere. Review your privacy settings. Implement those essential tools like password managers, VPNs, and antivirus software. Don't put it off.
And make it routine.
Make it a routine. Set aside time regularly. Maybe it's weekly, maybe monthly. Whatever works for you to review and adjust your digital security posture. Check for updates, review account permissions, maybe clear out old data. It's about consistent vigilance.
It's not about being paranoid, you said earlier.
It's about being prepared. That's the Red Dot Source perspective. Awareness isn't just information. It's your armor in the digital domain.
Treat it seriously.
Protecting your digital identity requires the same level of dedication and vigilance you apply, hopefully, to your physical safety. Protect it with the same mindset.
This deep dive into the sources has really underscored that point for me. Building this digital defense plan, it isn't actually overwhelming when you break it down into these steps.
Right. Strong basics, securing your environment, staying aware, and just committing to continuous learning and upkeep.
Absolutely. We've unpacked a wealth of information here, synthesizing it into, hopefully, a framework for powerful digital self-defense based on these expert sources. So, as you, the listener, reflect on the evolving digital landscape and the strategies we've discussed, here's a final thought for you to consider. Given how quickly online threats adapt, what is the single most important action you can take today to significantly strengthen your digital armor?